acting as a surface for the transmission of the virus.
The team also sampled tens of thousands of Chinese genetic and blood samples from 2019 and found the pandemic likely began in China that December. Chinese scientist Dr. Liang Wannian, who was on the joint mission, says it is not clear the first case of the coronavirus even occurred at Huanan, a theory Chinese officials have actively promoted. Emily Fang, NPR News, Beijing.
The second impeachment trial of former President Donald Trump begins later today in the Senate. NPR's Giles Snyder says Senate leaders have agreed to trial rules.
Under the agreement that sets the structure of the trial, it will start with a debate over whether it is constitutional. Each side will have up to 4 hours to make their case. If the Senate decides to proceed after a simple majority vote, both sides will have up to 16 hours starting Wednesday to make their presentations.
NPR's Giles Snyder reporting. Stocks opened modestly lower this morning after hitting record highs on Monday. NPR Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell about 80 points in early trading.
The stock market rally continued in Asia overnight. Indexes were higher in Tokyo, Seoul, Hong Kong, and Shanghai. Democratic lawmakers in Washington are pushing ahead towards a large economic relief package, but it's not clear that a minimum wage hike will be part of that deal. Congressional forecasters estimate boosting the minimum to $15 an hour would increase paychecks for at least 17 million Americans, but would also cost 1.4 million jobs. Hopes for an economic recovery are pushing the yields on Treasury debt higher. The yield on 10-year notes has more than doubled since August, and the yield on 30-year bonds topped 2% for the first time in a year. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
Mary Wilson, the co-founder of the Motown hit group The Supremes, has died at her home near Las Vegas, according to her publicist. The Supremes had numerous hits, including this one. Mary Wilson of the Supremes was 76 years old. No cause was given for her death. On Wall Street, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is now down 97 points at 31,288. The NASDAQ is up 30. This is NPR. The Senate has voted to confirm President Biden's nominee to head the Veterans Affairs Agency. Dennis McDonough was approved on Monday. He formerly served as President Barack Obama's chief of staff and deputy national security advisor. Members of Chicago's Public Teachers Union are voting today on a tentative agreement to reopen schools for in-person learning. From member station WBEZ, Sarah Karp reports the union is concerned about coronavirus safety protocols.
The governing body of the Chicago Teachers Union passed their agreement to the 25,000 members for consideration. But in doing so, they made clear that they weren't endorsing it. And in fact, 90% voted that they had no confidence in the mayor or school district leadership. Union leadership is not saying that this is a great deal, but rather that after months at the table, it is as good as they are going to get without a strike. They've warned that a strike could be long and deemed illegal. The tentative agreement prioritizes vaccinations for teachers and staff, but does not tie reopening to staff being fully vaccinated. For NPR News, I'm Sarah Karp in Chicago.
Officials in western Florida say a hacker tried to control the water treatment plant in the city of Oldsmar. That's just west of Tampa. Federal and state officials say the hacker tried to add a caustic chemical to the water supply last Friday, but a supervisor saw this and intervened to stop it. Officials say the public was not in danger. However, the officials warn that municipal water systems and other utilities can be hacked by cyber saboteurs. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Progressive Insurance, committed to offering a streamlined shopping experience where home and auto can be bundled together. Now that's Progressive. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE.
You're listening to 88.9 KETR in Commerce. It's 9:06, and it's time for North by Northeast, our focus on commerce local issues with our regional conversation series this year. Thanks for joining us. It's great to have you with us on this gray, damp, cold Tuesday, February 9th. Got a little Supremes in the background there, honoring Mary Wilson and her contributions to music. Sorry to learn of her passing this morning. Music meant a lot to many of us. Today we're joined by Commerce City Manager Howdy Listenby. He's been in here a few times discussing municipal issues. Howdy's been on the job since November, so he's still a little bit new. Howdy, good morning.
Morning, Mark. Thanks for having me on again.
Pleasure to have you, Howdy. And we have a whole lot to talk about. We have a discussion of roads in Commerce in front of us, and that's a mildly daunting task because let's just be candid about this. When people complain about Commerce, roads is at the top of the list.
I've heard that a couple of times since I've been here.
I'm certain that you have. Howdy, we've probably got some new listeners who might not have heard our broadcasts over the past few weeks. So if you would just please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about how you came to be the semi-new city of manager in Commerce starting back in November of last year.
Sure. Thanks, Mark. My name is Howdy Listenby. I've been in local government for right at 20 years, most of that in West Texas. I started in a small community of Anson, Texas. Then moved to the city of Abilene, where I spent about 13 years. And then I spent about 2 years in far west Texas in Pecos, in the middle of the oil field. And then, as fate would have it, I was able to come to Commerce, and I'm absolutely loving it here.
Wow, Pecos, Texas.
Yeah.
That is way, way out west.
Other side of the world.
You can watch your dog run away for a couple of days out there.
Yeah.
Well, we hope that you're enjoying the humidity and precipitation and all of the other things that make Commerce, Texas very different from the other end of the state. So, Howdy, we talked a little bit recently about the process that the city uses for evaluating roads. So if we could just kind of recap that real quick for the benefit of folks who weren't around for that conversation, and then we'll get right into what specifically the City of Commerce government has in store for the next year or two as far as getting a handle on this situation, if possible.
Yeah, we could do that. If you've ever read a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins, it's a fantastic read. And one of the principles that he puts forth in that book is called Confront the Brutal Facts. If you want to become great, you can't hide your head in the sand. And so if we're going to talk streets in this community, we have to confront some brutal facts. One of those being that within the last year or so, we had a professional team come in and do an evaluation of our street network and give us a grade. For context, a good street is going to score between a 65 and an 80. Those are good numbers for good streets. The average score for our street network was a 28.
Ouch.
So we've got a lot of work to do. We have a fairly extensive street network, and most of it is in a very poor state of condition. So we have to be very strategic in what we do and how we do it. And so we've got the data of what our street conditions are, and now we've got to start putting a plan together and what action are we going to take.
Okay, so what's that plan look like right now, where we stand in February of this year?
Sure. For the next 2 years, looks like we're going to have about $1.5 million in 2021 and about $1 million in 2022 that we can use to start putting a dent in this street issue. $2.5 million is really not going to go very far when you look at the entire network, but I think there's some very strategic things that we can do to start seeing some improvements for our community.
So how do we identify which streets will get worked on? Because, of course, that's really the item of concern to most citizens, because, of course, everybody would like their street where they live and the street where they commute and they go to work and go shopping and so forth. Those are the streets that people want worked on, so you have conflicting priorities there. So how do you negotiate your way through those difficult choices?
One of the things we say in this industry is that we get to make perfect decisions with imperfect information. And so picking what street you start with is an example of that. And I would imagine whichever street we pick is probably going to be the wrong one to some number of people. But I think we've really got five steps to take in terms of our action plan. And the first one we're moving on right now, and that's going to be to find an engineering team to partner with. Anytime you're working on streets, it's, as we've discussed before, very complex. You don't have just the street surface, but you've got stormwater and rain runoff drainage. You've got underground water lines, sewer lines. So there's a lot of stuff to consider, and you need a good engineering team to partner with. So we'll be selecting an engineering firm probably in the next 60 to 90 days. Once we have them, we've probably got a list of 5 to 10 streets that we want to consider as our first candidates, and we'll have the engineering team work with us, and we'll probably communicate with the community at the same time about what these 5 to 10 streets are and have a very transparent and open scoring system, if you will, to select the first one or two streets that we work on. After that, we start design. The engineers have to do some surveying. They have to do the engineering things that engineers do to come up with really pretty pieces of paper to tell us how to build it. But all in, that whole process is going to take probably a year. So I would say within a year from now, hopefully going into spring of 22, we should start gearing up for some pretty major construction.
Okay. And so all of that, I mean, when you say it, it sounds intuitive and it makes sense. You have to start from the beginning. You have to select an engineering firm. Being that you're a public entity, you have to, you know, make it open to bids.
Correct.
So that folks have an equal shot at getting that municipal contract. And then you have to be very strategic, selecting that list of perhaps 5 to 10 streets that you identify for repair. You've got to evaluate and rank those. Within that process, you mentioned that you're going to be transparent with the public. Will the public input part of that process be structured in any way, or will it be sort of unstructured where folks who have recommendations or concerns would be just encouraged to attend a council meeting or correspond with you or chat with you during business hours? In other words, if I'm in commerce and I think I've got a pretty good idea about what streets need to be worked on and why, what's the most effective way to communicate that to city government to make sure that there's eyes and ears on my recommendations and it's not just going down a rabbit hole and never to be, you know, part of the criteria that you use?
Good question. I would say probably right now the most effective way to communicate those concerns and those issues to us would be via email so that we've got it in writing and we can compile those comments. Once we have the engineer on the team, we'll probably have a combination of formal and informal communications. Some of those will be in city council meetings where we invite the public to participate. But written comments, written feedback really improves our ability to grab a hold of those ideas and make sure they stay at the front of our minds.
So what's that email address?
I guess the easiest thing for now would be my email address. I know, careful what you wish for, but howdy.lisenby@commercetx.org.
And could you please spell your last name, just because folks aren't
It's a fun one.
Okay, go ahead.
Howdy, howdy.lisenby, LISENB as in boy, EE, two E's, at commercetx.org. And we'll be compiling those comments and feedbacks and include that in our considerations.
Okay, and if you didn't have a pen and paper, you can always find Howdy's email address at the city's website, which is
commercetx.org.
And you can find it pretty easily just by doing a Google search for Commerce, Texas. So we've got select an engineering firm as step number one. Step number two, establish a list of 5 to 10 streets on which to work. Step number three, evaluate and rank those streets. And when we're talking about ranking, we're also talking about being strategic financially as well as just from a desirability standpoint, because some of these streets are more expensive to work on than others. If you could please address that so that folks understand how that criterion is part of the process.
Sure. You really have, it's probably more complex than this, but I'll simplify it to three major types of road maintenance that you can do. The first is going to really truly just be maintenance, and you take a street that's already in good shape, You don't spend a whole lot of money on it, but there's some maintenance things you can do to make that street last another 5-10 years longer with a very small amount of investment. Then you're going to have minor reconstruction where you have to mill off or cut off the top layer and then put a new layer of street surface down. And then major reconstruction is going to be you rip the whole thing up down to the dirt and rebuild from the base all the way to the top. So we'll have to evaluate with how much money we have, how far can we make that stretch. There's a strong possibility that some of those dollars will be spent on streets that everybody thinks are good. That's because with the small investment today, we can make that street last 10 years longer. And that's usually a pretty good use of our funds. So some of that money will probably be used in that format, but I would suspect a lot of it's going to be major reconstruction.
And of course, many of these streets, we're not just talking about the roads themselves, but the infrastructure. You have many of our larger roads, of course, correspond with utility corridors.
Correct.
So you've got electrical infrastructure, as well as our municipal water system, which I understand is quite historic here in Commerce.
It is. You also have to add Atmos and the gas infrastructure where they're moving gas through our community. So all of those have to be considered.
How does that, without getting off into a tangent just about numbers, how does that work when we have private companies like Atmos, Encore, all those other folks? They have to somehow accommodate your efforts. So who pays for the fact that they have to go out of their way and either interrupt service or do some sort of maintenance on their own systems because it's all part of the process? Is that something that is part of your electrical bill or your gas bill every month, that sort of cost of doing business thing that they figure in? Or is the city obligated to compensate these utility providers, these private sector utility providers, for the fact that they're having to spend extra money because of what we need to do with our roads?
It depends. We've already had one conversation with Atmos regarding their gas infrastructure, and as we identify the streets that we're going to be looking at, Atmos will evaluate the lines they have in the ground, and if they feel they need to replace them or move them, they will do that at their cost, which is part of their billing and their revenue system. However, if we want them to move it and they don't feel it's necessary, then we would bear the cost of making that move. And so it depends on whether they already plan on moving it or they need to move it and it's part of their capital process, they pay for it. But if we as a city decide we don't want that there, it needs to move, then we would most likely share part of that cost.
And so that's all part of the price tag, and it's all part of making it happen without a tax increase.
That's the goal.
The goal, as you mentioned, $1.5 million is what we have on hand in 2021. Now, you're talking about fiscal year 2021?
Yes, that would be from October of 20 through September of 21 is fiscal 21, and then fiscal 22 would start in October of 21 and go through September of 22.
Okay. So evaluating and ranking those streets, what criteria go into the decision-making process besides public comment and just the amount of traffic volume on those streets?
Traffic volume is part of the consideration, but you also got to look at how people move around your community and how commerce happens within commerce. And so there are going to be residential streets, then there are going to be what we call collector streets, and then occasionally you'll have arterial streets. Culver would be an example of an arterial. It's like an artery in your body. That's TxDOT controlled. We won't have to touch Culver or Highway 24. But then there are going to be other collector streets that allow people in neighborhoods to move across town, and those tend to be some of your higher priorities because you want to facilitate safe movement of traffic. So traffic counts will be a consideration, but then how we think or how we see the community growing in the future and where we think traffic increases will take place.
We are talking to Howdy Listenby. He's the city manager of Commerce, Texas, and we'll be talking with Howdy for another 10 or so minutes. This is North by Northeast on 88.9 KETR.
lately to recognize the unmistakable talent in Texas music? My name is Matt Minky, and I scour music from all corners of Texas, new and old, regardless of the style or genre. And I bring you what I think is some of the best music made by Texans, and songs with a Texas connection for good measure. Here, a Texas music experience found nowhere else but notably Texan. Coming up at 11 on KETR.
Jared Knight here at KETR. There comes a time when you've just got to let go of that old vehicle. Sure, it may have a lot of great memories, but maybe it's just taking up space. Selling it can be a hassle, so here's a thought. Let this station take it off your hands. The proceeds from the sale benefit KETR, and you could get a tax break. So donate today. Call 855-KETR-123 to get started.
Gray skies much of today. It may brighten up a little bit this afternoon. Temperatures, they're going to be anywhere from 50 to 55. There's the chance of a shower overnight, 35 to 40. Better chance for showers tomorrow as we start to cool off. We're 45 to near 50. Rain tomorrow night, and it may mix a little bit of sleet as we drop down to 30 to 35. It'll be breezy. Rain possibly mixed with sleet Thursday morning, highs 35 to 40. I'm staff meteorologist Rob Carolyn for 88.9 KETR.
And we're back with Howdy Listenby. I'm Mark Haslett, and this is North by Northeast on 88.9 KETR, talking about getting the roads fixed in Commerce. Well, Howdy, based on what we've discussed so far, the good news is that this process has some momentum, even though we aren't very far into it. There's definitely the will, and there's a plan, and to a certain extent, there's the means. The bad news is that this is all going to take a lot of time. We all want everything now. I want the streets to be better now. I'm tired of driving across gravel and dodging potholes that you could lose a Great Dane in.
Yeah.
But according to this timeline, when is the first, when can we expect to see crews out there working on streets?
I would reasonably set the expectation for probably 12 to 16 months from now. I would say we need a year to get the engineer, select what streets we want to do, and then do the design. And a lot of people take for granted the complexity of a street and the design work that is involved. As we've talked about, there's quite a bit of surveying. You've got to make sure you identify the right-of-way and where the property boundaries are. One of the things we haven't talked about and need to is sidewalks. And so if we're going to be adding or replacing sidewalks, we got to pick the routes. You got to set the elevations so that the water drains off correctly. So there's a lot of work that goes into doing it right. And when it comes to capital projects, I typically tell my teams, I want to move right. I don't want to move fast. Because if you get in a hurry because of political pressure or public intent, you can move too fast and make mistakes that then you got to go back and spend more money to undo. So I would say we're probably 12 months away from seeing any crews.
Okay. Well, that just means that we're going to have to live with what we have, basically, for another year or year and a half or so. I know that someone in your position hates to make predictions about what will happen because, as we've talked about earlier in our conversations over the past few weeks, trust is so important, particularly when you have somebody new in the job. And so the quickest way to erode trust is to create the impression that something's going to happen and then it doesn't happen.
Right.
And then you can't ever undo that. I mean, you can rebuild trust to a point, but what's done is done. And once somebody is disappointed in you because they felt like you didn't keep your word, you can't really undo that. All you can do is mitigate it. So I'm going to put you on the spot anyway.
Go for it.
Okay. What streets do you think have a strong chance of being part of the repair plan? And I understand you're not guaranteeing, you're not making predictions, but I think someone in your position should be able to say which thoroughfares you think have a pretty strong chance of being included in this effort.
Sure. I'll take the safe route to respond to this because there have already been some evaluations and some studies that have been done in this community. For example, there was a process a number of years ago called Reimagine Commerce. I know there has been some love and some hate for that process, but it identified a thoroughfare plan and it identified how they want to improve movement of vehicle traffic, bicycle traffic, and pedestrian traffic. And so if you're looking at how people move throughout the community or how we think they will be moving, it speaks to where we need to start. So I would say, I'd speculate, you're going to be looking at probably Sycamore and MLK Drive so that we can improve how the eastern side of town moves back over towards the western side where most of the commerce happens. There's not very reliable ways to get that part of the community moving in this direction. I would speculate that's going to be on the list. If you go down to the southern edge of town, Charity Drive sees a tremendous amount of traffic, and it's basically a country road. Stormwater and how it is handled through there, it's fairly dangerous, and the ditches drop off pretty quickly. I would expect Charity Road to get some evaluations. You'll probably see some discussion of some minor work on Washington or Monroe because they're good streets, and we want to invest a little bit of money to make sure those surfaces stay in good shape. You could probably see some conversation about Bonham, other ways to move people to the downtown area to improve traffic flow into that commercial area as well. So I think there's some major collector streets to move people out of neighborhoods into the other parts of town. I think you'll see some conversation on those.
On the topic of Monroe, does TxDOT have any do not drive in the middle of the road signs that we might place around that dogleg? Because, boy, a lot of people get to that dogleg there right near the university, and they're like, oh, a dogleg. That means I'm going to drive in the middle of the road. And I don't understand why people do that, but I cannot tell you how many times I've had to practically hop the curb there to get out of the path of a veering SUV or giant truck that's just tearing right down the middle of the road.
I think if I could go back and retake any college courses to help my career, it would have been either philosophy or psychology, because I can't figure out how people think and why they think the way they do sometimes. But you can have a traffic barricade up and a backhoe digging a hole in the middle of the street, and they're going to drive around the barricade and drive right past the hole because they want to see what's happening. So I don't know that the signs are going to accomplish much.
The same people who are causing that mayhem are also the same people who don't really read signs. So that's just a weakness of the social sciences. They're trying to treat human behavior like a science, and talk about a project that's doomed from the get-go.
Yeah.
We've been visiting with Howdy Listenby. He's city manager here in Commerce, Texas, talking about the roads. If you just tuned in, the very short version is that they're looking at it. There's a process. There's a timetable. But there's probably not going to be any, as they say, shovel-ready projects until about this time next year at the soonest. You're with listener-supported 88.9 KETR in Commerce. Coming up next on 88.9, it's Texas Matters, a statewide public affairs program from Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Of course, with the legislature in session, lots to discuss on Texas Matters. That's up next here on KETR.